Well, welcome to our recorded Sunday service and sermon. I want to wish each and every one of you a wonderful Lord's Day. I miss all of you, and I miss seeing your faces here in our church sanctuary. For me, this is most unusual, to be talking into a mic with no audience. It truly is not the same. And I think we all can appreciate more what Christian fellowship is really all about. My prayer is that this social separating will be short-lived and that none of you will become ill. Please let me know as soon as possible if you do become ill, so we can pray for you and begin to get others to pray for you as well. Well, after a few announcements, I will offer a prayer and ask you to prepare your hearts and join me. I know we are not together, but the Holy Spirit brings us together. The Holy Spirit of God can do marvelous things in times like this. Each of you has been sent the church bulletin. However, all the dates for the events are tentative, due, of course, to the stay-at-home ban. Also, if you'd like a hard copy, I'd be happy to mail that to you. I did run off a limited quantity because it would be a waste of paper. Also, I have included the children's bulletins for all ages, and for the parents, I've included the answer sheets. And these are things that the children could do throughout the week. I am going to continue to send special memos during the stay-at-home ban. Now, I will make some remarks in relationship to our bulletin and our church calendar. If you don't have your church bulletin, you might want to grab that and just follow along with me. Of course, our Wednesday night prayer service for now is canceled. I'm thinking about working on maybe something different. But for now, I'll ask you to continue to work on your journey series, studying the life of the Apostle Peter. We are on lesson number 5. When we do resume the church services, we're going to urge the seniors to stay at home to avoid any type of contamination until this threat of the COVID-19 virus has passed. We have the Awana Grand Prix scheduled for Friday night, April the 3rd, and that is supposed to start at 6:30 p.m. However, again, we're going to ask you to stay tuned for possible changes. The same with the Maundy Thursday service, which is scheduled for April the 9th at 7 p.m. I'm hoping and praying with all my heart that this ban will be lifted very, very soon. Our trustees will meet in the church hall on March the 31st at 7 o'clock. And we will arrange the table in the hall so that we can all be at a safe distance. They're asking us to be 6 feet apart, to continue social separating, to impede this virus. Again, the Men's and Women's Fellowship on April 5th is tentative. We were hoping to have our ladies go to Georgina's. Of course, that would be canceled if we're still in this mode of social separating. Our sunrise service is scheduled for April the 12th at the rear of the South Dover Cemetery, and we'll have the old rugged cross up there And Lord willing, we'll have our sunrise breakfast. Esther is coming in June. Right now, all of the productions at the Sight and Sound Theater are discontinued until the end of March. I am hoping that by June, things will be back to normal. At the bottom of the bulletin, I searched hard and long to find a cartoon that will bring a smile to your face, a little laughter to your soul. In times like this, it is truly something that we need. Read the caption in the cartoon and then read my thought. I think it'll give you a chuckle. Want to give you, speaking of a chuckle, I want to give you a little joke that probably would be really appropriate for this time of year as we're looking forward to Resurrection Sunday. There was this guy, George. He was having some real problems with his neighbor, Thelma. You see, his dog kept getting in her yard and digging up her plants, which she was really proud of. And so they weren't on good terms to begin with. Well, one day, when she was out grocery shopping, his dog went over to her yard, and he came back with her pet rabbit in between his teeth. It was all dirty, wet, and unfortunately, it was dead. He was in a frenzy. What was he going to do? Finally got an idea. Well, I'll just clean the rabbit up. I'll put it back in the cage and she won't be the wiser. And so he went and washed and shampooed the rabbit. He blow dried the rabbit. He even fluffed it real good. And then he ran over and placed it back in the rabbit cage before she got home. Well, a half hour later, he hears Thelma, his neighbor, letting out a blood-curdling scream. So he runs over, and he says, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" She cries, "It's my rabbit! My rabbit, it died last week! I buried it in the backyard, but it's back!" Well, it seems like I'm getting a pretty good laugh. Anyway, we need a little laughter. At this time, I'm going to bring up some prayer requests and some praise. And I think I'd like to ask you to join me. And so before we do pray, I'd like you to prepare your heart so that even though we're not together, the Spirit of the Lord will be praying in unison. The first prayer request, of course, is in relationship to this coronavirus. And we need to especially pray for those who have been infected. And I've heard that in our community we have a number of people, and in the Pauling community, and it's beginning to affect all of us. In fact, my sister, my youngest sister, is in quarantine. You may have heard about an Italian family in South Jersey who lost a number of family members, two young men. They were in their late 40s and 50s. And the mother was in critical condition. My sister worked for the mother at a place called Jenny Craig, and she wasn't in contact with her a whole lot, but enough to where they asked her to self-quarantine. She's okay. Praise God for that. She's healthy, but she has another 7 days of quarantine. I want to give praise for Frank Harrington being able to come home and He also had a doctor's visit on Thursday, and it all went well. It was a little trying for Irene, but God did help them through it. Also, we have a praise. Bob Paul asked me to give all of you the information concerning Tiffany's new baby boy. His name is Logan, and Logan was born yesterday, that's Friday, at 2 in the morning, and he weighed 7 pounds and 23 ounces, and he's 20 and a half inches long, so praise God for that, a new birth. Also pray for their safety as they travel home tomorrow. Continue to pray for Amina and Lorna, who are away, and we hope that they're having a good time. Remember to keep in your prayer the special needs children. We want to remember Brianna Vincent. We want to remember a Brody, who, by the way, again, we have a praise. Brody had his scan last week, and it was excellent, and he won't have to go back for a while. And I'm sure that Sally is very happy about that, and her mom. Keep them in your prayers. Also, pray for Donna Dana. She's persevering to the best of her ability, and we're hoping to see her back in Wingdale maybe sometime in the early month of April. And I probably left somebody out. If I did, I apologize. Hopefully you have the prayer list. If not, I will be sending a new and revised prayer list on Wednesday, along with some other notes. I will continue to send special memos. I want to be an encouragement to all. I know this is a difficult time, especially for our seniors who are the most vulnerable. So remember to pray for them as well. I think at this time, when I ask you all, if we just take a moment and pray and ask God to intervene throughout this crisis. When we ask God to be with our president, our vice president, who's heading up the very special task force. And of course, we want to pray for those who have been infected or in hospitals all over the country. So let's pray. Father God, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And Lord, our hearts are heavy and burdened at this time, and you know that, because we miss one another, and we truly miss the fellowship of one another. But we're so grateful that, Lord, you've given us this technology, that we could still stay in touch. We still can hear the activities of the church, the concerns of the church, and we can continue with our studies and our prayer. So, Father, we come to you with humble hearts and asking you that this storm would pass soon, that you would impart wisdom to our leaders, especially our president and the vice president. Be with our healthcare workers who are literally putting their lives on the line to help those who are sick. God, we know you want to resurrect your church in this time to do a great and mighty work. I pray you will use our church, the Dover First Baptist Church. Help us in this sermon to be challenged. Help us in this sermon, Lord, to be moved by your Holy Spirit. We praise you, Father God, for the test results for Brody. Pray for his mom and pray for the well-being of this entire family. We give praise for the birth of Tiffany's new baby boy, Logan. We thank you for a healthy child. We continue to pray for Trevor and Ashley and Lord, that you'll continue to put your hand upon her womb, and that we too can praise real soon for their newborn baby. Give them the strength, courage, the stamina to just continue to wait on you in this trying time. And we especially pray for those, Lord, who are concerned about their elderly loved ones as we, Father, traverse this time. We ask you take away fear that may be upon our hearts. Help us to recall last week's message that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. We love you, Lord. We ask you to comfort our hearts, to strengthen our souls, and to use us mightily. May we look for opportunities where we can praise you. We look for opportunities where we can serve you and serve others. Lord, bless the members of our church. I truly do miss them, miss them all, miss the opportunity of fellowship. But through this, Father, help us to appreciate what we've lost in this time so that when we come back together, we will rejoice with a greater thanksgiving, a greater heart, knowing that what it means to be able to have fellowship, to be able to embrace one another, to be able to hug each other and to greet each other and just to be with each other. So Lord, in this time of separation, may your Holy Spirit be our teacher and help us through it each and every day. Bless your word now as we are about to look into it, and help me to be a help to thy people, but hide me, God, behind the cross of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we do pray. Now at this time, I want to introduce the sermon. And it's not going to be on Esther. I think I am putting that on hold until the Lord gives me new direction. Right now, I want to talk to you on the subject, take heart. Take heart and have patience. I want you to take your Bible, if you're able to do so, and open to James chapter 5. And I'm going to read verses 7 to 11. And then we'll have just a short prayer for God's guidance and direction. And I'm going to do my best to preach, even though you folks aren't here. I pray God will give me the passion to preach as I would if you were. James writes to the Christian saints who have been scattered abroad in chapter 5, verse 7. He says to them, be patient. Be patient, therefore, brethren. And the way that's worded in the Greek, it's extremely intimate. It is a intimate, loving address. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. They were enduring great persecution, and they longed for the Lord to come and deliver them. And I think many of us are going through that right now. We wish this time of trouble and social separation was over. James continues and says, behold the husbandman. He's talking about the farmer. He says, behold, the farmer waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Father God, I pray just help me as I deliver what you've laid on my heart for thy people. And in this very unusual and peculiar way, Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit can do what we can't. Unite our hearts together. Take this message and use it for your honor and your glory. And Lord, if there's any among us who are not saved and would not be a part of the coming of your Son, our Lord, that this message would draw them nigh unto you and they would accept Christ as their personal Savior. Father, take the message now and use it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my wife and I were watching the news. We've actually been watching quite a bit of the news. And we were watching and saw a very familiar college. It happened to be the Camden County Community College in South Jersey, New Jersey. I actually spent a couple of years there doing college preparation courses. And then I did other courses, college prep information and things like that. Anyway, in the South Jersey parking lot, they had turned it into a testing site for the coronavirus. But the director, his name is Louis Compelli, said, and I quote, "Despite promises from the federal government, they haven't received any test kits." So here they are, set up on this parking lot, and they don't have the testing kits, which has become a real problem across the nation. He went on to say, "This is really testing our patients." Well, this virus is testing all of our patients. And so I want to preach on take heart and have patience. David prayed in Psalm 70 in verse 1, "Make haste to help me, O Lord." And like David, we don't like to wait. We dislike the long lines at the supermarket checkout counters, the traffic jams downtown and around the shopping malls and on the congested highways. We hate to wait at the bank or at the restaurant. But now, we all are experiencing a greater wait. The wait at home for this COVID-19 virus to be expelled from our lives. How we long, I think all of us, for much simpler and less waiting. David said in Psalm 40 and verse 1, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry." God does hear our cry. He knows we're not very happy with this wait. This wait is much different for us than waiting in line at the supermarket or waiting in traffic. In fact, maybe we long for those less threatening waits. In all of this, we need to take heart and have patience. James gave us the example of a farmer and of the prophets and of Job. Patience is hard for people who await the medicine, the drug, or the vaccine that's going to cure this disease. I especially think of those who are in the hospitals on the respirators. We wait patiently to be able to embrace those we love and to get our lives back to normal. In these uncertain times, you can find yourself on edge. I know at times I do. We can find ourselves being nervous and tense and waiting for a better future. However, we all have internal and social resources to get through this challenging time. You are a Christian. You have God's Holy Spirit and are far more resilient than you give yourself, or God for that matter, credit for. We Christians can be resourceful. We can be incredibly kind and generous, even with social distancing. We can confer support and prayers to each other. And that is what makes us different and strong in the Spirit. It was the hymn writer Philip Brooks who admitted, and I quote, "The hardest task in my life is to sit down and to wait for God to catch up with me," unquote. Doesn't that sound just like us? We want God to catch up to where we are. I know where I am. I'm out of this time of waiting. And I'm sure in your mind, most of you are too. And yet patience is part of God's strategy for maturing us as believers. Yeah, it's a lost skill. And we all are tasked now to cultivate this in these trying times. We know from being a student of the Word that patience is a virtue. It is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and we are called to practice patience. We are called upon to wait this out until the storm passes. Yes, patience can be learned by the Spirit of God. If a person desires to give themselves to the Lord and learn from Him, Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." We are being called to exhibit these virtues. It is the church that can make a big difference if we're willing to access these virtues, these fruits of the Spirit. I know it's easy to lose patience in times of adversity and anxiety. And that is what James is talking about. James gives us these examples of patience. And he starts with the farmer, verse 7 to 9, where he says in verse 7, that verse I called your attention to in the very beginning of our reading, how intimate it was, "Be patient." And then there's the word "therefore." And we understand when we see the word "therefore," to find out what it's there for. Well, it refers back to the trials and the tribulations and the injustice that were inflicted upon these Jewish believers. And the word patience comes from a compound Greek word. First word is makros. It means long. And then the second Greek word is timos, which means temper. So the idea is to set a timer on one's temper for a long period of time. Think long. Think endurance. Have a long temperance and be looking ahead for deliverance in the coming of the Lord. And we're being called to look for deliverance through this time of social separating, this time of sickness and illness for so many, to wait on the Lord. He will deliver. He gives an example here of how the farmer endures. Listen, if you're impatient, you don't want to be a farmer. A farmer needs to be patient. They need to be patient with the soil. The farmer must be patient for the rain. Farmer must be patient for the growing of his crops. I don't know a whole lot about farming, but I did learn some things from Brother Hank Dykeman. One thing we got to be doing to grow our crops is to be praying and asking God to take care of them. And he certainly set a good example to all of us about that. The Jewish farmer would he would do this. He would pray for the early rains and the latter rains. After the soil was prepared and the seed sown, they had to be patient with the season and wait on God. And God would give the increase. Verse 7 tells us, because the fruit is precious, precious means costly, the harvest will bring reward. Think about what we're going through. I do know that we're going to hear story after story how God has wrought miracle after miracle. And there will be reward. There will be reward because people will have grown in character. There will be reward because people will probably once again understand how precious family is. And even though we're going through this difficult time, we are challenged. Be with our families. Be with friends. Be loving. Be kind. The harvest will bring reward. James is picturing the Christian here as a spiritual farmer, waiting for a spiritual harvest. It reminds the Christian, the secret to endurance when the going gets tough is that God is producing a harvest in our lives. God is teaching us to appreciate all that we've had, that we've taken for granted. The fellowship of the church, the times with our families, the good health that we enjoy. God desires the fruit of our spirit to grow. I do believe God is proving his church now through this time of testing. And I do believe we'll come out better than we ever were. From the earliest stage of their faith, these Jews were taught that Jesus was coming back soon. They lived with the expectancy of an imminent return. As far as they were concerned, at any minute the sky might open up and the Lord Jesus would return as he promised that he would. You know, we ought to be living with that idea. We ought to live expecting the Lord's return and to wait patiently for him. I challenge you to read Psalm 37, especially the seventh verse. So many times in our Christian walk, we become impatient. We become impatient with God. Let God have his perfect timing. Even in this, God's timing will prove to be perfect. He will complete in you and in me what he desires during this time, social separating. It is James that exhorts these believers not to grumble against one another, but to be patient with each other. Already I've heard where this time of being sort of cooped up, we can lose our tempers. We can become disenfranchised with one another because we've got to be with each other. And we have the warning here that we're to be patient with each other. He says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Grudge not or murmur not. The Greek is literally groan, a half suppressed kind of murmur of impatience at harsh judgment, not uttered aloud or freely. Having exhorted them to be patient in bearing wrongs, he now exhorts them to a forbearing kind of a spirit as to the offenses given by brethren. Folks, when we become impatient, it will flow out against others. I'll repeat that. When we let this time of trial and time of waiting cause us to be impatient, it flows out against other people. We will be impatient with the people we live with, people we love, people we work with, and now those that we are shut in with. One of the marks of impatience is to grumble and complain. As Christians, Paul exhorted us in Philippians 2, verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputing. And I have to be honest that I've done a little murmuring, disputing myself. I don't like that I can't go to the pulpit and preach and see all the members of my church. I don't like the fact that every time we're out, we've got to come home and wash our hands and do all of these things. And yet they are good things, and we continue to practice them. There was a man who had a car who stalled, and some of us have been in this situation, in the heavy traffic, and the light had turned green. All of his efforts to restart the engine failed, and there was all of this honking of horns behind him. And as we know, it doesn't make matters better. Well, he finally got out of his car and walked back to the first driver, and he said, sir, I'm very sorry, but I can't seem to get my car started. I tell you what, if you'll go up there and give it a try, I'll stay here and lean on your horn for you. James gives us another illustration in the prophets. And that illustration of the car and the man who couldn't get it started is a good illustration of how we get impatient instead of being sensitive of other people. Maybe through this trial, through this social separating, we'll become a little bit more sensitive. Well, he gives the example in verse 10. Of a prophet. First it was the farmer. And now the prophets. And we know that the prophets was a big part of the Old Testament. Take my brethren the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord. And notice he says, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Give me a second. My voice is getting tired and I need to just take a little drink of water here. That's a good verse for us to focus on, because we, in a sense, are like the prophets. We are God's children. We are God's messengers. These early believers would have been familiar with this example of Old Testament prophets. When we read how these faithful servants suffered, it offers us encouragement. This encouragement comes from knowing that God is sovereign and He is in control. These prophets encourage us by showing they were in the will of God, and yet they did go through affliction. They went through trials. They were proclaiming their message in the name of the Lord. Pain and suffering is sometimes due to our faithfulness to our God. But how many of us can truly say that? The prophets encourage us by reminding us that God cares for those who suffer for His name's sake. Someone once said, I quote, the will of God will not lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. And folks, in this, God will keep His saints. Remember, the Apostle Paul said, God's grace is sufficient. And it will be sufficient in this. We have to trust Him with all of our hearts. James' last example in verse 11 is a very popular Old Testament character, Job. Many of you might remember we preached through the book of Job back in 2017 and 18, and I hope that we learned a lot from his life. He is the classic example of a man that patiently endured suffering and was blessed by God for his persevering faith. God is calling us to persevere, to be examples to the unsaved, to be kind and helpful and generous to people who are less fortunate than us. This is a time of opportunity. It's a time for us to reach out, to reach others for Christ. James reminds the believers these are blessings for those who persevere. There are blessings in the present and blessings in the future. Job lost all he had, you remember that, except his wife. And God doubled everything that he had. Job did not understand what the cause of his sufferings were. He did not know what was going on behind the scenes with God and Lucifer. And yet, Job endured. James says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." And I hope that all of you will. I'm praying for you. "Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." Yes, we Christians whine and complain over inconvenience, over minor afflictions, but it is in these times of life's trials that we have opportunities and can excel beyond what we can even imagine for the glory of God. I want to close. I want to say we can be thankful that our Heavenly Father is patient. Think about how many times the Hebrew children tested him and we, his bride, test him. We can be thankful that God is long-suffering. We can be thankful he has a long fuse, as it were, and he's long-tempered. We need to be thankful that our God loves us and is very patient. Patience is the trait that displays tolerance, compassion, understanding, and acceptance towards those who are slower than you in developing in their spiritual maturity. This is a time where we need to reach out to them. Patience is the ability to remain calm, to remain steady in the midst of turmoil, because you know God is in control. May God bless your hearts. May God use this message to strengthen you, encourage you, and keep you. And if you are not saved, you need to humble yourself, confess you're a sinner. You need to confess humbly before God. Ask him for forgiveness. Thank him for his love. But most importantly, thank him that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross and rose again from the dead to justify you in the sight of our Father. Receive Christ as your Savior, and you will be eternally saved. For now, I say, may God bless and keep all of you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.